Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for September 10th, 2018.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrim. It's a beautiful day here in Tulsa. The rain's falling and we've really needed it. And as I'm preparing now, following up on what I've been talking about the last couple of podcasts and about the charismatic renewal and some of the problems and concerns that took place, I'm going to tell you some other experiences that we had, because I want to encourage you concerning what may be coming soon to the body of Christ. But let me just read from the epistle of Peter, the second epistle, in the second chapter. I want to read just a few verses. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets who arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with their false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. The point is that in the renewal that was such a blessing to Barbara and I, we entered into the kingdom of God through the charismatic renewal of the 60s and 70s and into the 80s and 90s. And in that charismatic renewal, all sorts of things begin to happen. But in the midst of it, there were things that were really not of God. And Barbara and I, being very young in the spirit, wanted to know, how did we know this from that, and this was the Holy Spirit, and this wasn't? I'll give you an example. When we were in Thompson, Illinois, there was a young man who was a Pentecostal preacher, sweet young man, and he gave Barbara and I a book that he said would help us understand, quote, the prophetic. Well, I took it home. I'd never read anything about the prophetic or knew much about it. And in several chapters into it, Barbara began reading. She said, wait a minute, this can't be God. And I said, well, what are you reading? She said, well, in this book, this woman is saying that she's got this vision of this giant snake wrapping itself around her, making love to her. She said, this doesn't sound like a prophet of God. Well, the book was about and written by Jeannie Dixon, who was a charlatan. But this Pentecostal minister was just new to him, to the whole thing himself, and he didn't know how to discern. And there were several times that we felt that we experienced things that were so difficult to deal with. There are false teachers. And one of the things that God wants to do when he pours out his spirit on all flesh, he wants to bring forth resurrection life. He wants to bring us into the kingdom of God. And he wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit to truly flow. I want to read from the Corinthian letter in the 12th and 13th and 14th chapters. It talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what they are and how they're manifested. And I also realize that the Corinthian church, if you'll recall, was a very carnal church, a difficult church. Paul writes that in the 11th chapter, they had had the Lord's Supper, and some people had come to it drunk. For instance, in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes, "Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. One is hungry and another is drunk." Wow! I mean, that's a pretty difficult thing to say. And then he explains what the Lord's Supper should be. And in the 12th chapter, he begins to outline what some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. These are in the Greek, charisma, or gifts. And so this outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the 60s and 70s and further was a time when things were really being shook up in the church all around the world. And we needed older people who'd been through some things to bring some wisdom and some discipline and some teaching. In my own life, I was blessed after we came from Thompson, Illinois, down to ORU, where I met people like Dr. Frost and Dr. Farah and President Roberts himself and other people that came through the campus. And they would teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I can remember President Roberts teaching every semester on the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he would often sometimes say, he would lament, he said, "I don't know any kind of Bible college or seminary that even touches the subject." And I couldn't help but agree. But I'm so grateful that he did take the time. But I can recall in a particular meeting with Dr. Frost, who was the man who headed up the natural sciences department at Oral Roberts University, he invited us to a particular prayer meeting in which some of these, quote, charisma or gifts of the Holy Spirit were being manifested. And the thing that I so appreciated was his humility, but his maturity. He seemed to know the nuances of the Holy Spirit and then the flesh. And his correction to me at times when I wanted to see these things manifested, I wanted to grow up and mature in them, and he'd be there to guide me and to correct me. But he never did it censoriously. He never did it accusingly. He would say things to me like, "Well, Tom, that was good. However, do you remember that in this and this?" And he would teach me and guide me. Oh, how we need brothers and sisters who can teach and guide us. For instance, in the 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, it talks about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's a complete list, but it certainly has many of them. I'll just read a few of them. He says, each one, verse 7, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, these gifts, these charismas of the Holy Spirit are to bless and build up the body of Christ. He says, for to one is given a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. So someone has that emphasis in the Spirit, another one has another one. Then he says, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another effecting of miracles, and on. But it's one thing and the same Spirit that works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, these charisma, which were functioning evidently in that very carnal Corinthian church, and some of the things must have really caused problems. Somebody was saying, I have this gift and you don't have that, and competitive things must have arisen as we look at the text of 1 Corinthians. And then, at the end of the 12th chapter, Paul writes this, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers. All are not workers of miracles. All do not have gifts of healing or speak in tongues. All do not interpret, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." And then we move into the great, beautiful 13th chapter where he talks about the love of God. And the emphasis of the whole epistle that Paul is pouring out his heart to that very carnal Corinthian church is the love of Christ must be the motivator in the ministry of gifts, in the sharing of them in the body of Christ. I think of I think it's the 13th chapter of John, when after Jesus has washed their feet, you recall this, and told them they don't understand really what's going on, but he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. I want you to love one another the way I've loved you. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, that's especially underscored in the beautiful chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. I want to give you an example of what happened during the charismatic renewal when I began to teach in homes in the early 70s. Well, it was really the late 60s, 68, 9, 70, and then in 71, I went full-time into teaching in homes. And at times I would have 10 meetings or so a week in Tulsa and in surrounding areas. And we'd have houses filled with people sitting up downstairs, sitting in the bathroom, the kitchen. And I would kind of be marveling, what's going on? Well, it was the Holy Spirit being poured out, and people had hunger for the things of God. The Holy Spirit had been poured out in a renewal, really, all over the world. And people were wondering, my goodness, what is all going on? And in 1 Corinthians 13, that great love chapter, in the first verse it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and all faith, and it talks about those things. So love must be the motivator for the true charisma, the true gifts of the Spirit to be shared in the body of Christ. I had a meeting in a woman's home during this time. It would have been in about 1969 or early 70, if my memory serves me right. And there were about 25, mostly women, that came to that meeting. And I was graciously received. And on one occasion, I'd been to a meeting the weekend before I went to this small group meeting in this woman's home. And in that meeting, all sorts of tongues were being manifested. And it was just so confusing. And I didn't know what to do with it until finally I just had to walk out of the meeting. And I was so puzzled, because I'd been in other meetings where some of those gifts had been manifested. And it had just been beautiful worship. I can remember 15, 20, 30 minutes of worship with people praying in the Spirit, praying in English, and it was so beautiful and just seemed to be orchestrated by a loving Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times when I can remember, I think I'm hearing angelic choirs joining us. Beautiful times of worship. But this one that I'm referring to just wasn't very beautiful. It was confusing. It seemed accusatory. And being young in the Spirit, I can remember saying to my friend Dr. Farah and to Dr. Frost and others, what do you do in that? And their counsel was, well, Tom, you've just got to trust the Holy Spirit in you. And I just, without accusing anybody, I just leave. And so I did. And I came out of that meeting a bit confused. And as I said, I called my friends and some other friends. Well, in this meeting, someone had asked the question about tongues. And my comment was, you know, I was in a meeting this weekend where they were experiencing this, and it sure was like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Didn't seem to bring much joy. And the woman in whose home I met just got angry, and she said, you can't say anything like that in this house, and literally kicked me out of the house because of what I'd said about what had happened in the weekend. I went home again, still more puzzled, and about an hour later, about half of the women in that group came, and they said, you know, this woman, we've loved her, but there's something that seems so critical and censorious about her. And yet when you would talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts, there was a humility and a teachableness. I say that to say, not hooray for me and how great I am, but that in the charismatic renewal, there were there was such a need for brothers and sisters who'd been through it, who had experienced the things that I had experienced and were learning things. One of the things that I've learned is that God, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit at the beginning. That is so important because there has to be a humbleness, a humility, a teachableness. And when that's there, the Holy Spirit begins to teach us. The Holy Spirit brings us older, more mature brothers and sisters who can say, as they did to me, Tom, you don't need that. You remember me telling you about the meeting that I'd gone to, about the ministry quote of the godly rebuke, which was not godly at all. It was censorious and critical. And Dr. Frost was so sweet, and he said, that's not the way the Holy Spirit ministers. I want you to begin to trust in that Spirit that's within you. It said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And living water is not critical and judgmental and censorious. It is filled with the joy and the love of the Lord. There's so many instances that happened in the fellowship that we formed called Bread of Life in about 1970 or 71 when I went out into the homes. And some of those experiences I'm going to be sharing with you in my next podcast that took place where I had to make decisions as, quote, the pastor. And people would come to me and say, you wouldn't believe what happened while you were in the other room or while you were at another place. And I'll tell you about some of those things in my next podcast. But I do want to just read from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a very, very familiar portion. It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, after Jesus says this. I'm going to read from verse 21 down to verse 27, and then I'm going to close. Verse 21, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 24, therefore, in other words, what's the therefore? For what's just preceded it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. That was the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I read that because I want us to go together back to that first foundational verse in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5, blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. The whole point is that the Lord builds on a teachable heart, a humble spirit. And it's so important for us to realize that God wants all of the charisma to be poured out into each individual believer, and then for each individual believer to bring that to the community of believers and share resurrection life. I'm going to get into a little of this into my next podcast, but right now I just invite you to open your hearts and prepare, because it is my personal belief that we are on the verge. Some have already told me they think it's already happening and around the world, of a brand new charismatic renewal. And many of the things that were problems in the old one may become problems, and we're going to need white-haired, mature, godly, humble, loving, patient, white-haired brothers and sisters who will be able to guide us through this new renewal. And as I ended a podcast last time, I said, I hope we don't have to do what some did, and that's throw the baby out with the bathwater just because of negative things that happen. So let's just pray and believe together that Jesus has a way of pouring out his resurrection life on us all, and that the charisma will truly exalt and glorify Jesus and his kingdom. Amen and amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at MoanMinistriesBookstore.com.